from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Joshua Johnson. The cops and robbers is constant drama. Comprehend the propaganda or you're bound to follow. Coming up, two stories about using the arts to make a difference in the East Bay. First, an intense one-man show about an officer-involved shooting in Oakland, written and performed by a sheriff's deputy. Gino Fajeda stars in Cops and Robbers, a play about crime, the media, and life on the streets. You'll meet him next. Then at 10:30, a new documentary explores Destiny Arts, a dance company where teenagers in Oakland can heal from life's trials. We'll meet the director of the film, called Free, and talk with members of the company. A play about crime and division, and a film about dance and redemption. It's all ahead on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. Good morning. I'm Joshua Johnson of KQED News. For too many people in Oakland and parts of the East Bay, life is a daily struggle, sometimes a deadly one. What better way to vent about it than through the arts, including through two programs we will explore in this hour. First, we call them police-involved shootings, but in reality, such a shooting involves many more people. There's the suspect, the reporter who covers the death, community leaders, commentators, friends, relatives, and the officer who has to live with what he has done. All of these characters come to life in Cops and Robbers, a one-man play about a fictitious shooting in Oakland. The performer is a professional rapper turned sheriff's deputy who has seen these incidents firsthand from many sides. Gino Fajeda wrote and stars in Cops and Robbers. He is also an Alameda County sheriff's deputy, and he's with us in the studio for this half hour. Gino, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a great show.
Thank you.
Very powerful.
Thank you.
Very, very good. And I want to talk to you more about you and your unique background, but first let's get into this awesome play a bit. Cops and Robbers is about an officer-involved shooting in Oakland, the investigation that follows, and how it kind of affects everyone involved. What made you decide to put this story together? You don't have a background in playwriting.
No, I don't. I don't. The story was born out of conversations between my wife and I. She was completing her dissertation at Berkeley post-traumatic stress disorder in urban city classrooms and vicarious trauma and the teachers that serve them. She's an educator. And I was a deputy in Santa Rita Jail. So we always brought our work home with us. And, you know, we both love the community. We're of the community. And all of these different perspectives that just between my wife and I, but also all of our friends and different people that we knew. And we knew none of these people were having the same conversations that we were. None of them were speaking to each other. They were all passionate about change. They were all passionate about evolving and finding a solution, but we knew that one would never be achieved if no one spoke to the other.
So this was kind of your way of locking all those conversations together.
Exactly. I basically put everyone's perspective up there on stage, and I knew it would. I hoped that it would draw all of them to the theater, and it has.
And it's pretty cool the way it's worked out from hearing the show. I mean, it slows time down a little bit. Like you see the storyline move, and then you get a perspective and a perspective and a perspective, and within someone's perspective, the storyline moves again. So it kind of gives you a chance to feel how the same event in the same moment affects a lot of people very differently.
Right, right. And it gives you a look into the life that I was living, you know, going in and out of all of these worlds while people comfortably sit in one world with their own philosophy and people that agree with them. And as far as you said, me not having a background in theater, you're right. I had to track down a drama teacher that I had when I was 18. I took one acting class, and her name is Amy Zins. And I knocked on her door and performed the entire play in her living room for her and her husband, Lou Levinson. They have a lot of theater experience, and they signed on and directed, and we just went forward from there.
And I understand you wrote this play in 4 days. Is that right?
Right. When you're working at the sheriff's office, you have 3 days on, 4 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off. So I wrote it in that those four off days. But I mean, the voices had been speaking to me for a while, and the emotions were there. And you know, I was listening to a lot of Last Poets and reading Western philosophy, and all those things came together to just, you know, it was almost a free write when I did this play. I just kept writing until all perspectives were on the page.
Now, before you were a deputy, you were a professional rapper known as Piper in a band called Flipside, a very successful group. Y'all played on national TV, big arenas around the world. Flipside's song Someday was one of the themes to the 2006 Winter Olympics.
Right.
How did you go from being Piper and playing arenas to patrolling the streets as a sheriff's deputy?
Well, it was great. You know, when we were out there, we were on some of the biggest tours in the world with Snoop Dogg and The Game, some of the biggest acts in the world. But eventually the train began to slow down. We had internal strife, and luckily we had written all of our songs. So we still had checks coming in. I mean, we still have checks coming in from that wonderful ride that we had. But I had time to sit back and think about what I would do next. And, you know, I have a degree in Black Studies from San Francisco State. And, you know, our music has always leaned toward the political side. And after Oscar Grant got shot, you know, we found ourselves at the first gathering at the Fruitvale Station. And I remember asking people, you know, what do we hope to accomplish? Why are we here? And, you know, the recurring theme.
I'm sorry, by way of preface, for people who aren't familiar, Oscar Grant was a Black passenger, unarmed, who was shot dead by a BART police officer, a white officer named Johannes Messerly, who was eventually convicted of involuntary manslaughter and spent about a year in jail.
Correct.
So by way of preface, go ahead.
Correct. At the point of this protest, he had been shot dead like maybe a week earlier, and nothing had been done at that point. So we're here, and I'm asking people, what do we hope to achieve? And, you know, the recurring theme was people said that, you know, we believe that there are police officers out there that don't care about the community. There are police officers out there that are trigger happy or heavy handed or racist. And, you know, so I began to think, well, how do we succeed? How do we get further? How do we achieve our objectives? And, you know, the thought came to mind, well, in the ultimate victory for the thousands of people that are here of all racial ethnicities and socioeconomic backgrounds, the ultimate victory would be to get rid of all of these cops that don't care about the community. But if we did that, who would replace them? You know, because in looking around, I knew that I wouldn't replace them. I knew that none of the people there would replace them. No one that thought like us would replace them. So if no one that thinks like us would replace them, then it's a high probability that someone that thinks like them would replace them, which would mean that in our greatest victory, no change would occur.
It's the devil you don't know, basically.
Exactly. We would be right back at the protest, a new one a year later. And here we are again with Ferguson. So basically, I thought about it for a year and a half. You know, I spoke to some of my professors and teachers and my wife and everyone that I respected. And ultimately, I decided, you know what? I have a little economic freedom right now. I have time. I'm going to pay my way through the academy, and I'm going to go in and at least try. So all of these songs that I've written about, you know, justice and freedom, it's not just all talk. It's not just all art. I figured I would put some action behind it. And I luckily, you know, graduated. I gave the commencement speech, and I've been picked up by the sheriff's office, and I've been working ever since.
Let's listen to two clips of two different characters you play in the show. First, there's the clip of the minister. He's a character kind of cut from the mold of Louis Farrakhan and Malcolm X. Here he is reacting to the shooting.
What we have here is a blatant example of police terrorism at its worst. You see, instead of serving and protecting, they are murdering and neglecting those that they should be most obligated to serve and protect. They are shooting first and leaving us to ask the questions later.
You said it sounds crazy when you're listening?
Right, because I'm remembering doing all the background voices.
Oh, yeah. for the layering of the audio.
Right, right, right.
Now, what piece of the puzzle does he fit for you in telling this story?
Well, he speaks from the Black experience in the Western Hemisphere. You know, he speaks from a platform of roughly 500 years in what we've been dealing with. So there are no isolated events, you know, as far as he's concerned. And that's a credible voice. It's a valid voice coming from, you know, the Black experience. Right. So when you flip to the opposite, then you'll have someone saying, you know, they'll be talking, they'll be describing what the officer thought as he was approaching the suspect and whether or not the suspect's hands were up and, you know, what side of the car was he on and what side of his waist was his taser on. That's a completely different conversation. It's a completely different language being spoken, and neither are acknowledging each other.
Speaking of a very different conversation, let's hear from another character, conservative talk show host Rob Bob. He's a Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh type, and he has no sympathy for this victim whatsoever.
So let me get this straight. This jackal is running around holding up a black power fist, like some crazy, murderous, revolutionary Black Panther from the 60s, who, by the way, should all be dead or in jail by now.
Now, this guy is just pure vitriol, and he seems like a big contrast to the minister, but really, they have a few things in common.
They represent their demographic, you know, by any means necessary, and they don't they're not too concerned with what people think about what they're saying outside of that, outside of their demographic. Rob Bob in particular, you know, a lot of people in the Bay Area would say that, you know, this guy's crazy, or this guy is, you know, where did this guy come from? Some of the top radio shows in the United States of America are sound like Rob Bob. You know,
the top radio show.
The top radio show in America, and maybe two or three out of the top five, to be exact. And, you know, so that's kind of indicative of where we are, you know, as a nation.
We're discussing the one-man show Cops and Robbers with its creator and star, Gino Fajeda. We only have him with us for this half of the hour, so please do join the conversation right away. Call us, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Email us. The address is forum@kqed.org. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are at KQED Forum. I should mention, Cops and Robbers is playing at the Marsh Berkeley now through October 19th. This weekend shows are sold out. This coming Sunday is almost sold out, but is playing on Sunday nights at 7, starting next weekend through October 19th. You can also find Cops and Robbers as an album with the soundtrack and the entire program as a radio play on iTunes. What impact has doing this show had on your work in law enforcement? I'm sure it must make a difference being able to voice these things that you've seen in your life, that you're seeing on the streets, and not just to have to kind of, you know, deal with it as a sheriff's deputy with no outlet.
You know, it's been great because a lot of guys, I mean, law enforcement is a tough job. Being a cop out there, you have all kinds of emotional ups and downs, and the amount of hatred that you're subjected to is staggering. But a lot of guys may turn to, you know, depression, or they may turn to drinking, or luckily I'm an artist, and that's been able to serve as some sort of therapy, you know, and I talk to my wife about everything as well, so that helps. People.
Oh, by the way, your wife's name, I don't think we ever credited her by name.
Don Williams Fajeda.
Excellent.
She's Dr. Don Williams Fajeda. Yeah, we've been together for a while. We have three children, and she's my beautiful anchor.
Excellent. Excellent. Right. And so this has been a good outlet for you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we actually wrote the book together. So we got to work on a project together.
And there's a curriculum that goes along with this.
There is. She's an educator, and she demands that everyone learn.
She's like that.
Right. Well, we know that art is healing, but we also want it to be more than art. We also want it to, you know, contribute to some type of concrete shift, some change, some physical change, you know, and part of that is education. And another change that I've seen is this is the first time I've created art that police officers have come to see. You know, and this isn't some conservative right wing propaganda that they would love to come see. This is a piece of art that, you know, is very difficult to deal with. It's confrontational to everyone who's sitting in the theater, and they come out and they see that. And when they're sitting in the theater, they're sitting next to a teacher, and they're sitting behind some politician, and they're sitting in front of some community activist that was at the Oscar Grant protest some years ago. So everyone is being brought to the theater to experience this, and everyone leaves the theater thinking, what can I do? What can I do better? You know, what exactly am I doing? What can I do better to help change this dilemma that we're going through?
I should also mention, for those of you who are thinking about seeing this is a play with some very grown-up themes, some very strong language, some very strong images. I won't say it was hard for me to listen to. It was a brilliant piece of work, but this is probably like high school and up. Like,
exactly.
You need to be a little grounded and able to deal with some of these very grown-up, somewhat, you know, graphic images and be able to talk about it intelligently.
Definitely. I would say high school, some junior high kids, if they're mature enough. And the reason why I say that is because there are characters in the play that in some ways resemble some of these junior high school kids' heroes that they listen to on the radio and that they listen to in their little earbuds. And I show the dark side of those characters as well. You know, we kind of snatch the glamorization off of the face of the thug that, you know, America has come to love so much. And we show the other side of it.
Let's go to the phones, 866-733-6786, beginning with Randolph in Oakland. Randolph, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm well. What's on your mind?
Dino, what's up?
Hey, hey, what's going on? Randolph
Bell. You got it. Dino's a friend, and I've seen the play twice. I saw it the very first time, and it was really the most powerful thing that I had really ever seen on the topic because it gave the perspective. And people need to understand it's going to make a lot of people to feel very, very uncomfortable. But that is a really good thing because change can't happen until people come out of their comfort zones. And I think that's why the conversation in progress is not happening, because people don't want to feel uncomfortable. They don't want to face, you know, really what's holding them back. We talk about all the issues around, you know, really what's at the core of the problem, and that's no way to move the ball forward. It's really the far left talking with the far right, mm-hmm. and it's the people in the middle who don't want to feel uncomfortable and take a side that are not in the conversation, and I think that's where the most rational and productive conversation is going to happen.
Hey, exactly. Randolph, can I ask you real quick, what part of the show, I don't want you to give any of the story away, but what aspect of the show for you do you think kind of prompted the most discomfort in you personally?
No, not me personally.
Oh, so you were cool with it?
No, I'm born and raised in San Francisco, had the most diverse upbringing. But to somebody who, you know, nobody is from the Bay Area, generally right. speaking. So if they're coming from, you know, the Midwest or whatever, they're not having these conversations. They're not around the black community. They're not impacted by, you know, some of these things. So they can't believe it.
Right.
Right. So it's us being reactive. Right. So when we say racism, it's like, well, you know, why does it always have to be racist?
Right.
It's just like anything. If you can't understand it, you can't believe it. If you don't want to understand it, you're never going to believe it.
Right.
So it's good with me.
Well said. Hey, Randolph, I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off. I got to move forward to the next call, but very well said. Thank you definitely for calling in. Let's go to the next call from Emily in Crockett. Emily, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I am a public school educator in Alameda County, and so I'm really interested in this program. Thank you for being on. I'm currently teaching Anna Deavere Smith's Twilight Los Angeles, which offers, it's a one-woman show offering monologues of various perspectives on the LA riots.
Right.
And I wondered if you were at all inspired by that work. Your play sounds so relevant to what I'm teaching right now.
Right.
And I also wondered if there are any student matinees or other times that students could come. Thank you.
Right. I actually took a workshop from Anna Deavere Smith this past June, and it was excellent. She's a great teacher. And she's inspiring, definitely. The reason why I wrote the play was because my background is in music, and I knew I couldn't fit all these perspectives into a 3.5-minute song. So I wanted to do something that was as easy to do as possible. So in order to perform the play, all I need is a chair. You know, I later added the audio soundtrack produced by myself and Ray Topeter, who's a great engineer and producer. We want to get as many students in a theater as possible. As a matter of fact, the Richmond Rotary just sponsored tonight's show, and they're going to fill it up with youth from Richmond. You know, a year ago, the Oakland Rotary did the same when I performed the play with students from Oakland Unified School District. So, I'm completely interested in the youth seeing the play. And for those that are too young to see the play, I'd love to come talk to them to communicate the message of the play in language that they can handle.
What's the best way for people to reach you if they want to arrange a performance?
If they want to arrange a performance, well,
if they just want to learn more about the show, what's the best way to reach you?
You should go to Cops and Robbers Play. .com. That's the website, or pipedreamsent.com. And we can also be reached at copsandrobbersplay@gmail.com.
Gotcha.
So you just email me and we'll get back to you.
Gotcha. All right. Our time is running a bit short. I want to get to these two calls, hopefully a few more. 866-733-6786. Let's hear from Dave in San Francisco. Dave, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. And more importantly, for having this topic. I'm a white guy. I work in the tech sector. I do care about people, but I don't interact with a wide range of people on a daily basis. But, you know, over time, as I grow older, I get more and more emotionally moved by the troubles I see and with what we saw with Mike Brown and Ferguson, et cetera. And I joined a group on Facebook called Whites Against Inequality, where these discussions are happening. And it's a pretty raw group. And what I noticed is that there are some people with so distinct backgrounds that care a lot but have a really hard time listening to other points of views. And I think that's the value of the group. And I'm really excited to hear about this show because I think that we need to have these conversations and cross these barriers if we're going to ever get anywhere. I just want to thank you for having this topic on the air and for, of course, producing this show.
Hey, Dave, thank you for calling in. And let me say that I believe that you're a majority. I believe that the majority of people want to see a solution to what's going on. But we're out on these islands, you know, and we don't have access to other people that think in different ways. So congratulations for going to seek that out. I would encourage you to try to make some type of bridge between law enforcement and public safety and the business sector so we can work on, you know, fixing this problem and reducing recidivism. Because, you know, we can these people going in and out of jail, they need jobs. We can do everything we can to change policing, but at the end of the day, no American is going to starve to death. So if people need money to feed their families and put a roof over their families' heads, they're going to commit a crime if they have to. I believe that we need to be more innovative and we need to work across lines, you know, in the business sector, law enforcement, public safety, teachers, therapists, to form this type of net with the majority of people that I believe. The majority of people care. We just need to reach out to one another and come up with something new because we're smart enough to do it.
And hey, Dave, thanks for that comment. And thank you for being honest about your ignorance on this topic. I find that often when dealing with issues of race, the one thing people don't want to say is, I don't know. So thank you for being willing to just say that and be straight up about it. One more call now from John in San Francisco. John, good morning.
Good morning. Great show. I'm going to make it a point to see this play.
Yes, indeed.
I'm born and raised in San Francisco. Went to Mission High School. Did 3 years in the Marine Corps and came back out and wanted to be a cop. My dad was a cop. I have 7 relatives who are in various police departments in the Bay Area. Unfortunately, in a barroom fight when I was 19 years old, a kid threatened to knife a friend of mine, and he got stabbed with his own knife. I got to him just in time.
Hey, John, before you dive into the story, I hate to cut you short. We are almost out of time for this segment, so you're going to have to make this real brief. Sorry to cut you short.
The problem with San Francisco, every police department, they hire kids that never had any trouble, kids that don't know the street. If I was the chief of police, I'd hire young black kids, maybe had a little problem, young Latino kids who know how to be tough on the street without killing people.
Who can relate to the situations people are dealing with?
Well, in that sense, I'd have to say kudos to the sheriff for the Alameda County Sheriff's Office because he hired a guy from West Oakland, myself, who toured with Snoop Dogg and performed in front of weed plants in Europe and has a degree in black studies. So it's great to see that not every law enforcement agency is the same. And, you know, you get to set your own rules for the culture that you're going to have at your agency when you get into a position of power.
That's Gino Fajeda, who wrote and stars in Cops and Robbers. It's playing at the Marsh Berkeley through October 19th, and it's on iTunes. Gino, it's a devastatingly powerful show, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Time for a break. You're listening to the song Believe. It's from the play's soundtrack and from Gino Fajeda's group Flipside. When we come back, we'll introduce you to an arts project that is reaching Oakland's teenagers through dance. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio.